And good morning. It is 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning. Happy to have you with us. Kind of a cloudy day today. Could see some rain later. Might be a good day to stay inside and read a book. Check your pulse. Make sure you're alive and doing well. We are going to talk this hour, Charlie, about kidney transplant. I think a lot of people don't know this, but Hennepin Healthcare is sort of at the epicenter. I mean, they do so many and have been for so long, and it's a problem that a lot of people face.
Yeah, absolutely. And transplant, always a very interesting topic to get into.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're really grateful to have with us on our newsline Dr. Paul Staehler. He is a kidney transplant surgical director at Hennepin Healthcare. We also have on our newsline Jennifer Bodner. She is a transplant coordinator at Hennepin Healthcare. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Yeah, nice to have you guys on. Let's start out with Dr. Staehler and kind of talk to us about symptoms of kidney disease. Like, how do you even know? Does it present? You have to catch it, and then it's too late. Kind of talk about that.
Yeah. So kidney disease is unfortunately a disease that most people don't really know that they have. The most common causes of kidney disease are diabetes and high blood pressure. And, you know, in the absence of routine preventative care, where, you know, patients are going to the doctor every year and having their blood pressure drawn and labs monitored, things like that, it's really hard to know that you have early kidney disease. And so, unfortunately, a lot of patients end up presenting with end-stage renal disease. And what they would notice would be decreased energy levels, perhaps some nausea, headaches, not eating well. Typically, there's some weight gain involved because patients are holding on to fluids that their body can't get rid of.
And when they present, as it, with other illnesses, is it better if you find it earlier, and can you treat it and turn it around?
Correct. Yeah. So with routine, you know, preventative care, if you know you're found to have high blood pressure or to have diabetes, there are interventions such as lifestyle modifications, weight loss, diet changes, and in some cases, medications to help control those chronic diseases and delay or halt the rate of kidney disease.
And can you talk a little bit about who's more susceptible to getting kidney disease? Is it men or women, people of color? You know, is there a specific group that is at risk of getting kidney disease more than others?
Mm-hmm. Well, I worry about everyone. Certainly, we see kidney disease affect patients of all ages, of both sexes, of all races. There does seem to be a disproportionate number of minority patients who are at risk of kidney disease, and that's obviously multifactorial. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it affects everyone.
Again, if you're just tuning in on this Sunday morning, we're talking to Dr. Paul Staehler. He is the Kidney Transplant Surgical Director at Hennepin Healthcare. We also have Jennifer Bodner on. She is the Transplant Coordinator. Jennifer, I hope I'm saying your last name right. Tell me if I am.
No, you're perfect. That's correct.
Okay. And in your role within sort of the entire operation, how do you and Dr. Staehler work together at different phases of this process?
Well, currently I'm the living donor coordinator. And so anyone who's interested in trying to be a kidney donor, they can either have someone specific in mind, or they could just want to donate to anyone on our wait list would contact me. And then we would begin the evaluation process to find out, is it even a good idea for them to consider being a kidney donor? And at that point, I usually connect with the medical staff and say, this person has come forward and this is their background. You know, what do you think? And get their input to see, is this a good idea? Should we start moving forward, or does the medical team have concerns that we need to look at before we move forward?
And on that note about concerns and what you look for and what's necessary, I know a lot of people might have questions. Maybe they themselves, as living donors, have given a loved one a kidney. Let's invite our listeners in at 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. We'll take our first break here at about 15 minutes past 7 o'clock. But again, we're happy to have Jennifer Bodner, a transplant coordinator at Hennepin Healthcare, as well as Dr. Paul Staler, who is the kidney transplant surgical director at Hennepin Healthcare. We'll get to your calls and texts after this on News Talk 830 WCCO. Cloudy skies right now, 47 degrees on a Sunday morning. My name is Susie Jones. Charlie Weese at the helm. We're taking your calls and texts at 651-461-9226, and we're talking about kidney transplant as well as live kidney transplant. That's someone in your life that may need a kidney that you say, you know what, I have two. I might as well just give one away to someone in need. We got a text from a listener this morning. Thank you for that. My brother-in-law had a kidney transplant at the Mayo. He's doing well. I'll start with Dr. Staler. Is it become more and more successful since the first transplant? And when was that, if you can remember? I imagine you can.
So, successful kidney transplant was done in about the mid-1950s in Boston. It really kind of became standard practice for patients with end-stage kidney disease, I would say in the mid to late 80s. The success rate of kidney transplant has improved considerably over the past several decades. And so I think, you know, what most patients want to know when they come and see me is, okay, what's the chance of rejection? And fortunately, with the medicines that we have today, the average risk of rejection within the first year of transplant is about 5%. So up considerably from several decades ago.
651-461-9226. A person writes this morning, how long is a kidney transplant surgery?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Okay.
In general, a kidney transplant takes about 3 hours to do. It's performed under general anesthesia. And when we put the kidney in, we put it down in the pelvis. There's three connections that we need to make so that there's blood going into the kidney, blood leaving the kidney, and then urine leaving the kidney and going into the bladder. So to do that work typically takes about 3 hours.
And recovery, what is the recovery process?
Yeah, so on average, patients generally spend anywhere from 3 days to about 5 days in the hospital. After that, then they go home, and that's actually kind of where the hard work begins in the clinic, seeing patients back usually about twice a week for the first 2 months after their transplant. But in general, I tell patients that it's probably about 6 to 8 weeks before they wake up in the morning and they feel like they didn't have surgery.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Dr. Paul Staler, the kidney transplant surgical director at Hennepin Healthcare. And we also have on our newsline Jennifer Bodner. She is the transplant coordinator at Hennepin Healthcare. The two work closely together. And we talked a little bit about, Jennifer, before we took our break, about people coming forward. So just so we know, anatomically, I'm probably not saying that right, we all have two kidneys, correct? So someone, is it generally present like, I want to give my sister, or I want to give my mother a kidney, what do I need to do?
Yes. So, and so then we'll say, well, first it has to be blood type compatible. So if you're if the person who needs a kidney is blood type O, the only person who could give a kidney to them would need to be blood type O. But that's just part of the process. Then they have to be it's something called tissue type compatible, and that's would the recipient or the person who receives the kidney, would their immune system accept this kidney or reject it? You know, and rejection is when they fight the it's a foreign object, the other kidney, would the immune system recognize that this is a foreign object and start fighting it and rejecting it? So the first two components is they have to be the correct blood type. And then if they are the correct blood type, does their tissue type of the donor acceptable to the kidney recipient?
And if that's all systems go, for lack of a better word, what is the next step in the launch sequence?
Well, it is a many, many step process. So then if we realize they are compatible, then we have to look at is the person who's donating, do they have adequate kidney function that if they give away a kidney, will the remaining kidney be able to give them enough kidney function that their body really won't notice that they've given one away? Sometimes you can be very, very healthy, but your kidney function is fine with two kidneys. But if you give one away, then your body is really going to be struggling a little. And that would be a time where we would say, no, you're healthy, but not healthy enough to be a generous donor and give that other kidney away.
And Jennifer, is that related to age or just general health in terms of your kidney function? Because I would think a person might think that if I'm 70, I'm less likely to give my kidney than if I'm 40. But that does that correlate exactly or not really?
No, not really. We really don't know what their kidney function will be until we start doing that workup. Sometimes, you know, you can be, in your upper 60s and have adequate kidney function to give one away, and sometimes you can be much younger. It's really looking at, the overall process. It's a big puzzle that you look at each different little part, and so until we start that workup, we're not really sure if your kidney function will be adequate or not.
I would imagine you would have to manage expectations, and maybe both. You have family, it's intense, people are excited, they think there's going to be this grand operation and great success. Do you have to kind of temper people's expectations a little bit?
Definitely. And that is really, really hard. I mean, sometimes telling people that they're in great health, just not good enough health to give away a kidney is so crushing, especially when they are going to continue to see the person they love dearly need a kidney and no one else is a compatible match at that time.
651-461-9226. We're getting a couple of text questions in. Love to hear from you if you have a question or just want to share what you went through. A texter writes, my husband had a kidney transplant 16 years ago and recently had his mitral valve replaced. His GFR has improved since then. Do you think that will continue to improve? And I am not a medical person. I've claimed that many times on this show. Dr. Staehler, do you understand what the person's asking about?
Yeah, I do. it's obviously a difficult question to be able to answer. The heart and the kidneys, like a lot of our organs, are intimately related. And so when one organ isn't doing very well, typically the other organs suffer. And so in the case of heart disease, structural heart disease, when patients have heart valves that aren't working properly, that definitely the kidney function can deteriorate until it's fixed. And so I'm glad to hear that the listener's family member is doing better after the mitral valve.
That's great. Next texter writes, I made a direct kidney donation 3 months ago, only in the hospital one night. I had no complications and feel fine now. Jennifer, how nice is it to hear something like that from your vantage point? That's a nice story. I mean, that's a nice comment, right?
It is. And I will tell you that, Most of our kidney donors, the morning after surgery, yeah, they do feel really a little sore. But, you know, 24 to 30 hours later, they are feeling fabulous. I know that's the normal course, but it is just shockingly wonderful. That is the normal outcome. That is what we see over and over. And in fact, the thing that I always caution people is, you know, you're going to feel really well and very shortly, but you have to remember you did have surgery, and we got to hold it back until the doctor clears you to really aggressively start moving forward with increasing your activity.
And then this texter writes, I made a direct kidney donation. Is that obviously one loved one? They know exactly who they want to give it to. Do you find that happens quite a bit?
Yes, that is the most common. When people contact me, I will ask them, do you have someone specifically in mind, or do you want to directly donate, or do you want to just donate to the wait list? And most of the people contacting me will say, no, I want a direct donation. I have a specific person in mind.
651-461-9226. It is 728 on a Sunday morning on CCO. We are talking all things health this morning, specifically about kidney transplantation. A texter writes, is it true that kidney transplants can only come from a living donor, not people who have recently passed away like car accidents? And maybe Dr. Staehler, do you want to get that one before we take our bottom of the hour break?
Yeah. So there are two ways that patients can donate kidneys. The first way, as we've been talking about, is through living donation, where someone presents and wants to donate one of their kidneys. That compromises about 20% of the kidney transplants that we do. But the most common way is through deceased donation. So when someone has passed away, and they or their family have made the decision to donate their organs for a transplant. So the most common way, actually, is when patients have passed away.
We learned a few weeks ago, talking about transplants, when you had your flag raising, that a transplant, and this seems kind of interesting to have learned, the transplant is possible only if the patient dies at a hospital. Do you recall that being true?
Correct. Yeah. So, only about 1% of people who pass away are able to be an organ donor. And to be able to do that, yes, you need to be in a hospital so that we can evaluate the organ function and do a lot of the same things that Jenny had talked about as far as blood type compatibility and tissue matching.
And is that, that seems like such a small number. I think it might surprise people that it is such a small number. I suppose the onus then goes on to the incredible work of the first responders to keep that person functioning alive until they get to the hospital.
Correct. And I would say that the most important piece of the whole puzzle is to talk with your family about what your wishes would be in the event that you are, you know, critically ill or that you had a catastrophic brain injury, and making a decision as far as whether or not you would want to be an organ donor. And so there are a lot of different ways that decision can be documented. I think the most common and easy way is through the DMV, driver's license.
Right, right.
Also, the DNR offers donor designation opportunities when you buy your hunting and fishing license.
Cool. Let's take our bottom of the hour break. I'll remind people listening, we're talking to Dr. Paul Staehler. He is the Kidney Transplant Surgical Director at Hennepin Healthcare. Also, Jenny Bodner. She is the Transplant Coordinator at Hennepin Healthcare. And your calls and texts are welcome at 651-461-9226. We'll be back right after this with more of your questions. And we are back. It is 735 News Talk 830 WCCO. My name is Susie Jones, Charlie Weiss at the helm, and we're taking your calls and texts at 651-461-9226. Dr. Paul Staler, Hennepin Healthcare Kidney Transplant Surgical Director, and Jenny Bodner, the Transplant Coordinator. Getting some text questions, some text comments. This one writes, "Hi to Paul. From your friends at Clary Lake Park, we are proud of you. I donated a kidney to a stranger 15 years ago. Best gift I could ever give. I feel great." That's from Jenna T. So, little.
That's great.
Shout out to Dr. Staler.
Hello, Clary Lake.
Oh, dear. Another writes, "I was fortunate to be cared for by Dr. Staler and Jenny as a recent living donor at Hennepin Healthcare. The thorough testing alleviated my concern that this was the right decision for me. If you are considering donation, pursue testing today." This person writes, "The gift you give is life-changing." I do think a lot of us, what is the hesitancy, do you think, in terms of, and either one can go, you just say your name and say something, but, you know, is there still a hesitancy out there?
Yes, I would say that most people who contact me, they really want reassurance that, you know, this isn't going to affect their lives in a significant way. A lot of people will say, you know, I am willing to give up a little bit because I feel so strongly about this. But most of the people who come forward are active. And we've had some marathoners, some triathlons, and I will assure them, you know, if we think this is not in your best interest, we'll be very blunt and tell you that. And so, you know, to let them know, no, you're not going to need to be on the medications afterwards. That's a common question, you know, what medications? And I said, none. And, you know, will you have a normal lifestyle? Absolutely. You know, that's the goal here.
You know, a texter just asked about that. Hello, a person is born with two kidneys. How does the body compensate if one of them is donated? And by the way, love the show, this person writes, so thank you. But back to the question, I think you do wonder, is that other kidney having to work overtime?
Yeah, so the kidney does have to pick up the slack, for lack of a better term, of the missing kidney. We do obviously see when patients donate a kidney that their overall kidney function does decline to a small amount. But you know, if we have done our job correctly, then the remaining kidney is more than adequate for the remainder of their life.
All right, 651-461-9226. If you're listening, we're talking about kidney transplantation specifically, or I guess we'll open it up. Mostly, though, living transplants. A texter writes, "Would an 85-year-old diabetic newly on dialysis even be considered for kidney transplant by a direct donor?" That's a good question, because if you have a loved one that really wants to help someone, is there that line that you say, you know what, I guess I'll let you answer? Doctor?
Yeah, so we do not have, there is not an absolute, you know, age cutoff as far as someone being what we would consider too old to be able to receive a kidney transplant. But more so, we have to take into account their overall health status and their functional status. Probably not surprising that, you know, there are people in their 40s or 50s who are frail or have other medical comorbidities that would make us think that this might not be a safe option for them. And likewise, people that are of older age that physiologically could act more like they're in their 60s. So we really have to take it into consideration on a patient-by-patient basis.
A texter writes, "Is kidney disease hereditary? Does it run in the family?"
Yeah, great question. And the answer is maybe.
Okay.
There certainly are forms of kidney disease that run in families, things like polycystic kidney disease, where we see entire families and extended families who come to us for kidney transplant, and oftentimes their family members have previously undergone transplant. But as I said at the beginning of the hour, that the most common causes of kidney disease are diabetes and high blood pressure, and there is some familial component of that as well.
And we are back. It is 7:35, News Talk 830 WCCO. My name is Susie Jones, Charlie Weiss at the helm, and we're taking your calls and texts at 651-461-9226. Dr. Paul Staler, Hennepin Healthcare Kidney Transplant Surgical Director, and Jenny Bodner, the Transplant Coordinator. Getting some text questions, some text comments. This one writes, "Hi to Paul. From your friends at Clary Lake Park, we are proud of you. I donated a kidney to a stranger 15 years ago. Best gift I could ever give. I feel great." That's from Jenna T. So, little.
That's great.
Shout out
hello,
to Dr. Staler.
Hello, Clary Lake.
Oh, dear. Another writes, "I was fortunate to be cared for by Dr. Staler and Jenny as a recent living donor at Hennepin Healthcare. The thorough testing alleviated my concern that this was the right decision for me. If you are considering donation, pursue testing today." This person writes, "The gift you give is life-changing." I do think a lot of us, what is the hesitancy, do you think, in terms of, and either one can go, you just say your name and say something, but, you know, is there still a hesitancy out there?
Yes, I would say that most people who contact me, they really want reassurance that, you know, this isn't going to affect their lives in a significant way. A lot of people will say, you know, I am willing to give up a little bit because I feel so strongly about this. But most of the people who come forward are active. And we've had some marathoners, some triathlons, and I will assure them, you know, if we think this is not in your best interest, we'll be very blunt and tell you that. And so, you know, to let them know, no, you're not going to need to be on the medications afterwards. That's a common question, you know, what medications? And I said, none. And, you know, will you have a normal lifestyle? Absolutely. You know, that's the goal here.
You know, a texter just asked about that. Hello, a person is born with two kidneys. How does the body compensate if one of them is donated? And by the way, love the show, this person writes, so thank you. But back to the question, I think you do wonder, is that other kidney having to work overtime?
Yeah, so the kidney does have to pick up the slack, for lack of a better term, of the missing kidney. We do obviously see when patients donate a kidney that their overall kidney function does decline to a small amount. But you know, if we have done our job correctly, then the remaining kidney is more than adequate for the remainder of their life.
All right, 651-461-9226. If you're listening, we're talking about kidney transplantation specifically, or I guess we'll open it up. Mostly, though, living transplants. A texter writes, "Would an 85-year-old diabetic newly on dialysis even be considered for kidney transplant by a direct donor?" That's a good question, because if you have a loved one that really wants to help someone, is there that line that you say, you know what, I guess I'll let you answer? Doctor?
Yeah, so we do not have, there is not an absolute, you know, age cutoff as far as someone being what we would consider too old to be able to receive a kidney transplant. But more so, we have to take into account their overall health status and their functional status. Probably not surprising that, you know, there are people in their 40s or 50s who are frail or have other medical comorbidities that would make us think that this might not be a good, might not be a safe option for them. And likewise, people that are of older age that physiologically could act more like they're in their 60s. So we really have to take it into consideration on a patient-by-patient basis.
A texter writes, is kidney disease hereditary? Does it run in the family?
Yeah, great question. And the answer is maybe.
Okay.
There certainly are forms of kidney disease that run in families, things like polycystic kidney disease, where we see entire families and extended families who come to us for kidney transplant, and oftentimes their family members have previously undergone transplant. But as I said at the beginning of the hour, that the most common causes of kidney disease are diabetes and high blood pressure, and there is some familial component of that as well. It's, again, much more nuanced and a lot of things go into it. But, yeah, we definitely see kidney disease that can run in families.
And, Jenny, to your line on this, and you were talking about helping people if they have kidney disease or lifestyle changes. Is that part of what you work with as well, helping people to get more healthy?
Yes. So everyone who comes to us who is thinking about being a kidney donor spends at least an hour with a kidney donor nutritionalist. And this is a registered dietitian who really has extensive background in lifestyle management and nutrition and looking at, you know, supplement use, things like that. And a lot of things you do every day in and out really affects your overall health now and down the road. So someone could come to us and they're a little overweight, maybe have some habits that they like to sit around a lot instead of, you know, getting out there and walking. And it's just tweaking little things. Instead of going out to eat and always ordering French fries or something, you know, think about a salad or think about a walk with your family around the neighborhood instead of watching TV. It's little things like that, but they do add up and they can make you a much healthier person in the long run.
651-461-9226. A texter writes, does it ever happen or have you ever seen it happen that a person donates a kidney and then ends up needing a donated kidney in the future? Something like that, doctor?
Yes, it is something that can happen. Fortunately, it happens exceedingly rarely. again, you know, one of the hardest things about kidney donation, evaluation, surgery, follow-up is that we're doing an evaluation, making a best medical judgment, but in some cases for patients who are in their 20s or 30s, that they have, you know, another 30, 40 plus years of life ahead of them, and things can happen. So we, you know, really try to counsel patients on continuing to take care of themselves after kidney donation, so that they don't become overweight or they don't develop diabetes.
Very good. Another texter writes at 651-461-9226, can cancer survivors be considered for donating? Jenny, maybe you want to take that one?
Well, we are really interested in what type of cancer they had, and most of the time, you know, it will go before a big committee. One person alone would not be able to answer that. We need the records because sometimes people's understanding of their cancer and their cancer survivorship, what they have been told by their cancer team doctors, is a little bit different when you're a kidney donor. So it really, we will need all their medical records, and that'll be reviewed extensively before we could really answer that. But it would affect whether or not they could be a donor.
Very good. We're going to take our final break of the hour. It is 7:45. The phone number, if you're listening, we're talking about kidney transplantation here with our friends at Hennepin Healthcare. The number to call, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. We have a number of questions that we've yet to get to, so we'll get to as many as we can after this break on News Talk 830 WCCO. It is 7:48, almost 7:49 on a Sunday morning, a cloudy Sunday morning. Our final segment with our guest this hour, Dr. Paul Staehler, transplant surgical director, kidney transplant surgical director at Hennepin Healthcare. Also on our newsline, Jenny Bodner. She is the transplant coordinator at Hennepin Healthcare, 651-461-9226. This is something we just talked about on Friday, both of you. I was at a lunch with some former work friends and a current work colleague, and we were talking about kidney disease and the issue of a pig kidney being used came up. And I'll start with Dr. Staehler. Have you done pig kidney transplants at Hennepin Healthcare yet, and what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so the field devoted to taking animal organs and using them for human transplants is a field called xenotransplantation, and it's been in the news quite a bit in the last 2 years or so, where specifically pigs can be genetically engineered to be compatible with humans. It is still in the investigation phase. There have been a number of successful kidney transplants performed in the United States, but I would say that it's probably still, unfortunately, 10 years away from being performed outside of a clinical trial. So the short answer is that no, we are not currently performing those types of transplants, but we eagerly await more data and hopefully to see this become more commonplace to really help alleviate the organ shortage problem that we have in our country.
And that's what I was going to ask you. Would it be a game changer? You say organ shortage. How many people are out there waiting for any organ that they might need, yeah, and there's just not enough of them? Do you have a sense about that number?
Yeah. So in the United States, there's currently about 100,000 people that are currently waiting for one or more organ. That's according to the United Network of Organ Sharing, or UNOS. Here locally in our community, it's about 20,000 people. And so there is a great need out there.
Okay, very good. 651-461-9226. We'll get to a couple more questions here. We have a few minutes left. If a kidney recipient does not live a good life, i.e. nutrition, exercise, could that contribute to the rejection of a kidney? And that's a great question. We talk about being healthy to give a kidney, but once you get one, how important is it to maintain a healthy lifestyle? And Jenny, maybe you want to get that one.
Well, there's many reasons why someone might reject a kidney. It definitely would help their overall health if they live a healthy lifestyle. But the most important thing is to have follow-up medical care. Take your medications as prescribed every day. And if you have any concerns or your health is changing, reach out to your transplant program. You should have normal, there's routine follow-up even years after a transplant. In the beginning, it's very closely monitored. But once you're several months out, you're, not having to see the doctor or your coordinator or your pharmacist as regular, but they will guide you about how often you should be following up and really follow your medical team's advice. And if there's any doubt in your mind about what you should be doing, reach out to them because they can intervene or tweak what should be done and help keep you healthy and try to really minimize your rejection risk.
Jenny, I want to follow up. If someone's listening, because a lot of questions are like, I have managed high blood pressure. Am I eligible to donate a kidney? Can you check? Is there just being a donor on the license, fishing or drivers, you can't come in necessarily and say, can you check if I'm healthy enough to donate?
Well, when people reach out to me, I ask them, why do you want to be a donor? It shouldn't be a knee-jerk response. It should really be a thoughtful introspection of what's going on in your life, because this will affect you for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So, why do you want to be a donor? And, have you ever, been monitoring your health beforehand? This should not be, I have no clue how healthy I am, but I want to be a donor type of scenario.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. We have about a minute or so left, and I want to just read this last one and get each of your final comments. This person writes, I'm a living donor. 27 years ago, I was 49, and I gave it to a friend's daughter. Don't take your organs to heaven. Heaven knows they are needed here. Isn't that sweet? So what would your last message in less than 30 seconds be, Dr. Staehler?
Yeah, so I think the last thing that I really wanted to implore the listeners is that there is legislation that's currently that's stalled in Congress called the Living Donor Protection Act. And what that is slated to do would be to help protect previous living donors so that they would not face any they would not be rejected for life insurance or for disability insurance. And it would also include paid time off.
Okay.
So I would encourage you to contact your local congressman or woman research the Living Donor Protection Act and help us try to get this through Congress so that we can perform more transplants.
Awesome. Thanks to both of you for coming on. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
49 on a Sunday morning, a cloudy Sunday morning. Our final segment with our guest this hour, Dr. Paul Staehler, Transplant Surgical Director, Kidney Transplant Surgical Director at Hennepin Healthcare. Also on our newsline, Jenny Bodner. She is the Transplant Coordinator at Hennepin Healthcare, 651-461-9226. This is something we just talked about on Friday, both of you. I was at a lunch with some former work friends and a current work colleague, and we were talking about kidney disease and the issue of a pig kidney being used came up. And I'll start with Dr. Staehler. Have you done pig kidney transplants at Hennepin Healthcare yet? And what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so the field devoted to taking animal organs and using them for human transplants is a field called xenotransplantation. And it's been in the news quite a bit in the last 2 years or so, where specifically pigs can be genetically engineered to be compatible with humans. It is still in the investigation phase. There have been a number of successful kidney transplants performed in the United States, but I would say that it's probably still, unfortunately, 10 years away from being performed outside of a clinical trial. So the short answer is that no, we are not currently performing those types of transplants, but we eagerly await more data and hopefully to see this become more commonplace to really help alleviate the organ shortage problem that we have in our country.
And that's what I was going to ask you. Would it be a game changer? You say organ shortage. How many people are out there waiting for any organ that they might need and there's just not enough of them? Do you have a sense about that number?
Yeah. So in the United States, there's currently about 100,000 people that are currently waiting for one or more organ. That's according to the United Network of Organ Sharing, or UNOS. Here locally in our community, it's about 20,000 people. And so there is a great need out there.
Okay, very good. 651-461-9226. We'll get to a couple more questions here. We have a few minutes left. If a kidney recipient does not live a good life, i.e. nutrition, exercise, could that contribute to the rejection of a kidney? And that's a great question. We talk about being healthy to give a kidney, but once you get one, how important is it to maintain a healthy lifestyle? And Jenny, maybe you want to get that one.
Well, there's many reasons why someone might reject a kidney. It definitely would help their overall health if they live a healthy lifestyle. But the most important thing is to have follow-up medical care. Take your medications as prescribed at, you know, every day. And if you have any concerns or your health is changing, reach out to your transplant program. You should have normal, there's routine follow-up even years after a transplant. In the beginning, it's very closely monitored. But once you're several months out, you're, you know, not having to see the doctor or your coordinator or your pharmacist as regular, but they will guide you about how often you should be following up and really follow your medical team's advice. And if there's any doubt in your mind about what you should be doing, reach out to them because they can intervene or tweak what should be done and help keep you healthy and try to really minimize your rejection risk.
Jenny, I want to follow up. If someone's listening, because a lot of questions are like, I have managed high blood pressure. Am I eligible to donate a kidney? Can you check? Is there just being a donor on the license, fishing or drivers, you can't come in necessarily and say, can you check if I'm healthy enough to donate?
Well, when people reach out to me, I ask them, why do you want to be a donor? It shouldn't be a knee-jerk response. It should really be a thoughtful introspection of what's going on in your life because this will affect you for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So, you know, why do you want to be a donor? And, you know, have you ever, been monitoring your health beforehand? This should not be, I have no clue how healthy I am, but I want to be a donor type of scenario.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. We have about a minute or so left, and I want to just read this last one and get each of your final comments. This person writes, I'm a living donor. 27 years ago, I was 49, and I gave it to a friend's daughter. Don't take your organs to heaven. Heaven knows they are needed here. Isn't that sweet? So what would your last message in less than 30 seconds be, Dr. Staehler?
Yeah, so I think the last thing that I really wanted to implore the listeners is that there is legislation that's currently that's stalled in Congress called the Living Donor Protection Act, and what that is slated to do would be to help protect previous living donors so that they would not face any they would not be rejected for life insurance or for disability insurance, and it would also include paid time off.
Okay.
So I would encourage you to contact your local congressman or woman research the Living Donor Protection Act and help us try to get this through Congress so that we can perform more transplants.
Awesome. Thanks to both of you for coming on. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.